Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 2, first 10 verses.
Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation, and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that, because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do.
From the verse number 11 in chapter 1, Galatians 1, to the verse number 10 in chapter 2, Paul is sharing some of his experiences in preaching the gospel and contacting the apostles in Jerusalem. I think it might add to our understanding of this passage if we run through some verses in the Acts of the Apostles that will refresh our memory about Paul's preaching and his life as an apostle, or even before, as a disciple of the Lord since the moment of his conversion. In the book of Acts, in the chapter 9, we have that beautiful and very dramatic and rather emotional conversion of Saul of Tarsus into the future Apostle Paul, and the visit of the Lord to Ananias, a faithful disciple, and then the visit of Ananias in the name of the Lord and according to the Lord's commandment to the place where Saul of Tarsus was praying and fasting, still blind and so on. I am confident that most of you know the story. It's a beautiful, marvelous story of the Lord Jesus Christ by his own mighty and loving hand snatching out a soul from the pangs of Satan, out of darkness into the light of the true gospel, the gospel of salvation in Christ Jesus. In this chapter 9, verse 20, we have this information. Straightway Paul preached Christ in the synagogues, that Christ is the Son of God. And this story is continuing in the verse number 21 and on. All that heard Paul were amazed and were talking among themselves, is not this the one that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, which believed in Christ, and came hither? This man came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. Obviously, the intention of the chief priests and the plot to destroy many Christians from among the circumcised, the Jews, was known in the public at Damascus. Verse 22 is telling us, Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews that dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. It seems to me that all that the Jews know to talk about, if somebody is disagreeing with them, let's murder him. But there Jewish laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took Paul by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he tried to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. They suspected that he might be, actually must be, an intruder. He's trying to sneak in somehow, to infiltrate among the disciples with the intention to continue that destructive work that he was committed to before. But Barnabas took Saul and brought Saul to the apostles and declared unto the apostles how Saul had seen the Lord in the way, and that the Lord had spoken to Saul, and how Saul had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And Saul was with the apostles, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. In the verse number 29, Acts 9, we see that Saul spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. We are talking about Jerusalem, which, when the brethren knew, when the brethren, the believers in Jerusalem, were aware of the fact that these Grecians, the Jews of Greek language, were plotting to murder the Apostle Paul, at that time Saul of Tarsus, a brother in Christ, which when the brethren knew, they brought Saul down to Caesarea and then sent him forth to Tarsus, his native place apparently. This verse number 31 in Acts 9 is rather interesting. After that, after the departure of Saul of Tarsus, after the last voice that argued with the Jews in Jerusalem that were opposing Christianity, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. The churches had rest. There was a period of tranquility, but at the same time, the enemy, the evil spirit, the Satan himself, did not have rest. He was laboring hard, relentlessly, since he was not able to continue the violence and destroying the preaching of the gospel, or preventing the preaching of the gospel among the Jews through oppression and rough force and persecution. Satan is now laboring hard to sneak in false belief and to multiply Paul's brethren, those that have zeal for the law and not for the Lord Jesus Christ. Apparently, for these false brethren, the belief in the Lord Jesus Christ was only an excuse to sneak in among these Christian believers and to start sowing and multiplying false doctrines. In the book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 19, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, the persecution from Saul of Tarsus and his group, but they, the Christians that were scattered during that period of persecution, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Now some of these scattered Christians, the Jews, were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, and these came to Antioch and spake unto Grecians, the Jews of the Greek language, they preached to them the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with these Jewish Christians, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they, the apostles, sent for Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. And Barnabas, when he came, and when he had seen the grace of God, he was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, Barnabas found Saul in Tarsus, Barnabas brought Saul unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they, Barnabas and Saul, assembled themselves with the church. There was already a church. And they taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of these prophets named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth, famine, throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples in Antioch and the vicinity, that region, every man, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which these Christians from Antioch and that whole region also did, and sent the relief unto the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. In the Acts chapter 13, from the beginning of this chapter, I would like to read few more verses. There were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and here are their names: Barnabas, and Simeon, that was called Niger or Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on these two, the rest of them sent these two preachers or ministers appointed by the Holy Spirit. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, departed. In the Acts chapter 14, verse 26, we see Barnabas and Saul returning back to Antioch. A long and difficult, dramatic, and very successful, very blessed journey of gospel preachers has been ended for the moment. They returned to Antioch just in time, because in the chapter 15 we see that certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. In the verse number 2, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension, quite a dramatic and heavy argument, dissension and disputation with these circumcision and law preachers. And Paul and Barnabas determined that they are going to go back to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Verse number 3 is telling us, or indicating, I believe, very clearly that Paul and Barnabas had no doubts that their own preaching of the gospel was right, and the preaching of the circumcision and keeping the law was wrong, because they, being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. no change in their preaching, no change in their ministry, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. I think it's obvious that they are going to Jerusalem, Barnabas and Paul, to the apostles, to somehow stop the false teaching. So here in the verse number 4 of the chapter 15 in the Acts, when Paul and Barnabas came to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and Paul and Barnabas declared all things that God had done with them. There rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise the believers from among the Gentiles, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. The apostles had no doubts that this was a wrong movement, wrong belief, that keeping of the law and circumcision had nothing to do with the conversion of the Gentiles to the true and clear sound faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was also obvious that this opinion and this heresy was largely spread among the believers in Jerusalem and Judea. And it was necessary that the apostles and the elders get together and declare unanimously what the true and faithful preaching of the gospel and the pure teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ is. In the verse number 7 I read, when there had been much disputing between the apostles and the Pharisees, called Christians, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knows the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And God put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they, the Gentiles. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. In the chapter 16 of the book of Acts, from the beginning of this chapter, we find Paul and Silas meeting or becoming acquainted with a young disciple whose name was Timotheus. The mother of Timotheus was a Christian believer, a Jewish woman, sister, but his father was a Greek. The disciples in this region were having a very good opinion about Timotheus. So Paul decided to take Timotheus to join Paul and Silas as they are traveling and preaching the gospel. And Paul took Timotheus and circumcised him because of the Jews which lived in these regions. For these Jews were aware of the fact that the father of Timotheus was a Greek. Timotheus was not circumcised in order to secure his own salvation, nor to support the false teaching of the Jews that circumcision has anything to do with the salvation of the new converts. However, this circumcision upon Timotheus had been done in order to open the door of the hearts and minds of the unconverted Jews so that they would not reject Timotheus, that uncircumcised man. And now I would like to switch our attention to the epistle to the Galatians and the passage from the verse number 11 in the chapter 1 to the verse number 10 in the chapter 2. In the chapter 2, in the beginning, "And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain." I think here in the beginning of the verse number 2, the Apostle Paul is telling the Galatians and to us that he had a revelation from the Lord, that the Lord was calling the Apostle Paul to go to Jerusalem and talk to the apostles in Jerusalem about that gospel. It was necessary for the leaders at Jerusalem, the apostles and the elders, to hear the pure gospel once again. They knew it, but they might have neglected it. They might have got used to the circumcision. And here in the chapter 2 of Galatians, Paul is telling us what was the situation, what was the understanding that was obvious between the Apostle Paul and the rest of the apostles in Jerusalem. "Neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised." Apparently in the verse number 4, we have the reason of this visit, this meeting of the apostles in Jerusalem, explained to us. "Because of the false brethren that unawares were brought in, that somehow managed to sneak in among the believers, they came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." In the verse number 5, I read, "To them, we, the Apostle Paul and the other believers and teachers in Antioch, gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour." Not for a moment did these Christians that were mostly circumcised, the teachers, the leaders in Antioch, among the converts and believers from among the Gentiles, these circumcised believers never believed that circumcision was a requirement or any part of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation in Christ the Savior. Once again, in the verse number 5, Paul is writing, "To them we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you," with the Christians like Galatians and like us today. Because these believers, whom the Apostle Paul is here naming as false Christians, false brethren, could not be or would not be persuaded by Paul and the other teachers in Antioch, it was necessary that Paul the Apostle goes back to Jerusalem and talk to the apostles and elders in Jerusalem, because these false brethren were part of the congregations under the supervision of the apostles in Jerusalem. And we have seen back in the book of Acts chapter 15 what was the outcome of this meeting and this discussion. As the Apostle Peter said, demanding of the new converts to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses as part of their salvation was actually tempting God, or in other way, provoking God, insulting the Lord. In Galatians 2 verse 6, Paul is giving us some additional details of the reaction or the opinion of the other apostles, especially those that were in the top leadership. In the verse number 6, we see that the leaders, the leading apostles in Jerusalem, did not add anything to the teaching of the Apostle Paul, that in their teaching in Jerusalem and in the teaching of the Apostle Paul. There was no difference. It was the same gospel of the same Lord, the same Savior. In the verse number 7 and on, contrariwise, when they, the leaders in Jerusalem, saw the gospel of the circumcision committed unto Paul was the same gospel that was committed to the Apostle Peter and the other apostles among the circumcised, the same gospel. For he, the Lord, that wrote effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same Lord was mighty in me, the Apostle Paul, toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be the pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Now, this was not loyal competition. This was not an agreement between the clans. Actually, it was a good understanding among the believers, among the apostles, among the elders. There is no competition among the sincere and faithful ministers of the gospel. When the Apostle Peter was called to Caesarea to preach the gospel in the house of Cornelius, he didn't have to think and pray and fast to find out if the Lord will allow him to preach to the uncircumcised. All he needed is to follow the calling of the Lord, to obey the Lord. And along his preaching to the Gentiles, Paul the Apostle never hesitated to preach the gospel to the circumcised, to the Jews. And I think here is a revelation for us today. Jews or Gentiles, circumcised or uncircumcised, or any other group, everybody that is not a believer in Christ is a Gentile. All those that are not converted to the only teaching of salvation, salvation in Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Everyone that is not in Christ is a Gentile, is lost. Apparently, in the verse number 10, the apostles in Jerusalem shared their need with the Apostle Paul, and that is that there are many poor, a lot of needy disciples among the circumcised, and they need help from the brethren that are from among the Gentiles or all over the world. The second part of the verse number 10, the same which I also was forward to do, actually is explaining to us that even that was not any addition to the gospel that Paul preached until that time and after that time as long as he lived. Both in the book of Acts and in the epistles of the Apostle Paul, we can find quite a few references to that fact that Paul was teaching charity, loving kindness, mutual help, mutual encouragement, mutual understanding among the disciples. And that is even today a significant part of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.